Psalm 105 and verse 4. Psalm 105 and verse 4. Spent a couple of days with my two oldest boys this week, and we just got off by ourselves to seek God together. And on the first morning we were there, we read Psalm 105, and this verse just leapt off the page at me, and so I meditated on it the rest of the time there. I'd like to share with you some of those thoughts that I had. Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Real simple verse there. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Lord, we do thank you for this time, and Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to seek you. And Lord, I just pray that you would take this message tonight and apply it to each person's heart and life as the Holy Spirit would deem necessary for them. Only let it be a blessing and an encouragement, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For many years, I had a wrong purpose. I would memorize and meditate and study the scriptures and even fast. But I had a wrong purpose in doing so. I used to do all those disciplines to get insights. And then I realized the purpose of those disciplines is not for insights, it's for intimacy. And that's really what God spoke to me about this last week, was I wanted to study his word, not just so I could give insights to bring to you or my family or anything like that, but rather just to seek an intimate time with the Lord. And hopefully, my messages and my life purpose will be deepened because of just understanding that subtle truth. We are to study the scriptures and pray and fast and do all those things, not just so that we have something that we can share with others, but something that we can share with God. Heart to heart with God, intimacy with God. And if you notice this verse, there are three simple points in this text. Seek the Lord, seek his strength, and seek his face evermore. Tonight I would like to talk about just the first one, seeking the Lord. And then the weeks to follow on Sunday evenings, we'll look at the other two points, seek his strength and seek his face evermore. Seek the Lord. That is first, and that is really the Christian's duty. We may think that to seek the Lord is some abstract thought, but it is not. We can really and truly seek the Lord. We also might think that God is playing hide and seek with us and that we have to try to find him. But that's not true either, because he wants to be found. As we seek him, he wants us to find him. He wants to be found. How many of you remember playing that game hide and seek? All right. When I played hide and seek, I had a strategy. My strategy was not to go very far from the goal. Because you've ever noticed that the person would count to 10 or whatever, and then they would say, ready or not, here I come. And they would just go right off looking for people who had run away and were hiding distances. And here I was close to the goal, and I would just stroll on over to the goal. And I would be safe there. All the time they were looking further off, further away for people. I think a lot of Christians are like that person who was it. A lot like the seeker. They chase after God over here, and they chase after God over there, and they may travel long distances to go to try to find. So I think a lot of Christians are like that person who's it. They're a lot like that seeker. They chase after God here, they chase after God there, and they go all the way over there and all the way over there. And all the time, God was right where they were. God was close by all the time. Acts 17:27 says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. This moment tonight, God is not very far from you. You don't have to go there or there or there or there. God is not very far from you tonight. He is close to you, and he's wanting you to find him. With Elijah, God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire. His was the still, small voice. You know what that speaks to me about? That speaks to me of intimacy. You got to be right there. God is in the still, small voice. That's what God wants. You know, it's hard to hear a quiet voice in a crowd of people. And yet we think that we need to be surrounded by people and together we need to seek the Lord. Sometimes He's in the quietness of our devotional life. His is the still, small voice. When we get away from the crowds and when we get away from people, He is then able to speak to our hearts. The place that we went to was called Wilderness Fellowship, and they had a chosen verse for their ministry. It came from Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, "I will bring her into the wilderness, and there I will speak comfortably or tenderly to her." How often does God want to do that? God wants to take us out into the wilderness, to have an intimate time with us, away from the distractions of the world, where we can spend an intimate time alone with Him. In the wilderness. Many Christians are satisfied to receive their truth filtered through the mind of some Bible teacher or minister, and that's not bad. But they never are able to go to the Word of God and His Word alone. They become mere echoes of the opinions of others. They're not grounded in the truth, and therefore they're more likely to be carried away with every wind or doctrine. You know, it's a great day for a child when he learns to feed himself. I thought about doing this tonight. I decided not to, but I thought about getting a high chair up here and getting one of the teens to come up and sit in the high chair and then have somebody feed them some baby food. Can you think, just think of that tonight. Put your favorite teen in that baby chair. And here's a mom feeding that teen spoonfuls of baby food. How would that look? Pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it? It would look pretty silly for that to happen. You know, a teenager should be feeding themselves by now. And as Christians, we need to learn how to feed ourselves. We can't be spoon-fed all the time. We need to seek God. Let God feed us. We could feed on Him and God's Word. When do you seek God? Well, when He may be found. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." That tells me there's a time when He may not be found. And so we are to seek Him while He may be found. The Bible talks a lot about the acceptable time. In Psalm 32:6, for instance, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." So seek the Lord before the trouble hits. Because it says there, in times of great waters, we may not be able to find Him. Psalm 69 and verse 13 says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation." Isaiah 49:8, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." When is the accepted time? When is the acceptable time? Now. Now. Now is an acceptable time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you have this opportunity today, now, to seek the Lord, take advantage of this moment, because this is the acceptable time. This is a time that God has set aside for us to get to know Him and to search for Him and to seek Him. So when do you seek God? Seek Him now. Seek Him while the opportunity to find Him is real. But how do you seek God? How do you seek God? Would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14? I'm going to look at these verses a little bit here tonight. So might be good for you to turn there. Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14. God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Well, the purpose of God is not achieved in our lives and until we find out that everything in our life is designed to draw us closer to Him. To seek the Lord is to find Him to be our joy, our delight, our fulfillment, and our success in life. But how should we seek the Lord? Well, there are a number of ways. Number one, exclusively. Look at verse 13. Ye shall seek, what's that next word? Me. Ye shall seek me, God says. They were in captivity. But they were not told to seek their freedom. They were not told to seek better conditions. They were told to seek the Lord. How often do we seek the things that we think that we need, but God says, seek me. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we have need of shall be added to us. Seek God, seek nothing more, settle for nothing less. So we seek God exclusively. You shall seek me. Also, we are to seek him earnestly with all your heart. With all your heart. This is an Old Testament phrase meaning to obey all his word. Why? Because we're desperate. Why? Because they're in captivity. Why? Because we are to be determined with all your heart. Exclusively, earnestly, and then expectantly. Verse 14, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that he is, but secondly, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We have to believe that. We have to seek him expectantly because God says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards us by letting us find him. We will be found of him. God will reveal himself to us if we seek him. "Ye shall seek me and ye shall find me, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." God will release us from captivity. Verse 14, he says, "I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations." God will bring us back and restore us. Our lost homeland, lost possessions, that's what he was going to do for them. And so we can seek God expectantly too, knowing that we will find God because he will reveal himself. He will release us from our captivity and he will restore our lost possessions. How else are we to seek God? By walking in his commandments. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 4 says this about a king. "But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel." That was an interesting phrase, walked in his commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." One day I found out that the word keep, which I always thought meant obey, but it doesn't really mean obey. It means to put a guard around or a watch over. In the Greek, it was a military guard. In the Hebrew, it was a fence. So God is talking about keeping his commandments before our eyes. That we are to watch. We are to have his commandments always before us. We are to observe them. That's what it means to keep them. to walk in them. I thought about that. I thought, you know, I think God is telling us here that how else can we keep his commandments always before us but to memorize them and to meditate upon them. They can always be before us if we've got them memorized. We can meditate on them at any time. Don't have to have the light on to do that. You can meditate on his commandments as you go to sleep at night. So we are to keep God's commandments before our eyes. That means our physical eyes. Could this be why this is Satan's agenda to remove the Ten Commandments from the walls? To keep God's commands away from our physical eyes so that we can't obey the command of Jesus to keep them before us? I think it could be, but we're also to keep his commandments before our spiritual eyes. Inside, even if they tell us we have to take all the commandments down from the walls, we still have those commandments in our heart. We can see them there. But also, as I got to thinking, how about before the eyes of other people? We are to keep his commandments before the eyes of the other people. We do that by living his commandments out, by obeying them, by walking in his commandments. People then see his commandments with their eyes. We keep the commandments before them, before their eyes. And you know, most Christians aren't doing this. We've become forgetful hearers. We tend to read the Bible only. And that's it. We're satisfied with reading the Bible, and that's it. That's all the discipline we have. We don't study it. We don't memorize it. We don't meditate on it. But David said in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Notice how he puts seeking the Lord and commandments together. In verse 11, we always hear, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We always hear verse 11, but we don't tend to equate verse 10 with 11. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." David kept God's commandments always before him. He observed them. He meditated on them. And if we don't do this, we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. We don't want to sin, and yet we do. And you know what's happened? The church thinks it's being persecuted. They're taking the commandments down from the walls of our courts and our schools. We are being persecuted. The church is not being persecuted. The church is being disdained because the church has failed to walk in God's commandments. We've become forgetful hearers. Why do we sometimes just have fleeting impressions? You know, this is something that even I think about sometimes. I'll hear a message, I'll hear a truth, and I thought it was something that I would actually carry out. But then I become not a doer of the word, but a hearer only. Why do we sometimes have those strong impressions? But you know, you hear a great message, you hear a Bible lesson taught, and you think you're going to put that into practice, and it made an impression on you. But when you leave the service, the impression leaves. It goes. Flies away. Why is that? The Bible gives us a number of reasons. One is we are covetous. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So it says that there will be people who come, they'll hear God's word being preached, they'll have much love, they'll have a desire to do it, but because of covetousness and wanting things in life, they become a hearer of the word and not a doer as well. Because of tribulation is another reason. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21, "And he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Sometimes we hear the word, we're ready to act on it, and we do. We go out and we act and put into practice those things that we have learned, that we have been taught. And the world persecutes us. And we give in and we give up. Also, because we have short memories. Mark chapter 8 and verse 18, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. James 1:24 says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Sometimes we hear a truth, we think, you know, that's right. I amen that. That's a good thing. I'm going to do that. But we forget. We leave, we forget. And then also sometimes the truth fails to grip us. 2 Timothy 3:7 says that there will be some people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They'll learn, they'll keep learning, they'll gain all this knowledge, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. And then sometimes the truth just doesn't grip us like it should. You know what I'm talking about? We can agree with it, but it doesn't really grip us. It doesn't get into us enough to make us want to carry on with what we've heard and become a doer of the word as well as a hearer. Well, how else do we seek the Lord? Number five, by doing right and seeking out those who have understanding. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God. Sought is the key. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We can seek the Lord by searching out other people who have understanding, and they can pass that understanding on to us. See, knowledge is not the main thing. Wisdom and understanding are essential. Knowledge by itself just puffs us up, makes us proud. But if we know how to apply that knowledge to bring glory to God, that's the key. Number six, by afflicting yourself or by self-sacrifice. By afflicting yourself or by self-sacrifice. 2 Chronicles 11:6. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. And then Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Do you understand what's going on there? Ezra comes to a place and he's unsure of the way. And he says, let's proclaim a fast because I don't know what is the right direction here. I want to go the right direction. I want to seek God. I want to seek God's will for my life and for my family here. And so I'm going to afflict myself. I'm going to fast. And he also says, I feel a little bit ashamed here. I feel silly because I told the king that God will stand up for those who are doing right. God will stand up for those who are his and that seek good. And God's power will be available to them. He says, but I'm a little bit ashamed here because I had to ask that king for help against our enemies. Here I did. I told him that God would take care of us. And then I'm asking him to take care of us. You understand his dilemma. And so he set himself and his people to fast, to afflict themselves with fasting, to seek the Lord, to go without food, to go without water even for a while, is to show the Lord that we are serious about seeking Him, about being intimate with Him. And fasting is just one of the ways that we can afflict ourselves. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, it said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now let me tell you, there's a difference between fasting and going without food. Going without food is not fasting. That's just going without food. When you go without food and you use that time that you would be eating to seek the Lord, that's fasting. Okay? God should be sought, and the Bible should be studied as eagerly as a hungry man seeks for bread. David said that I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Now, the formal reading of the word each day does have some value to it, but in order to benefit fully, we have to receive its truth, but also take that truth and appropriate it to our needs and to our lives. The baker might handle hundreds of loaves of bread a day and yet go home hungry at night. The Bible reader may examine carefully large portions of the Word of God, but with little profit, until he makes personal application and feeds upon it himself. That's what I want you to do. Take the Bible, don't just read it, but apply it to your life. You've got this situation here, look for God to speak through his Word, so that you can take the word and apply it to that situation. You've got this situation over here. Tell God about it. Ask him to speak to you from his word. You take the words that he gives you and apply it to that situation there. Otherwise, you're just like the baker who bakes 100 loaves of bread but goes home hungry every night. Learn to feed yourself from God's word. Learn to feed yourself from the bread of life. Learn even more than that, though, that you're not just trying to get insights from God's word. You are trying to gain intimacy with God himself. That's really where it's at. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That is first. That is your duty. And while you seek the Lord, remember that he says, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. You will find him. Seek him now, seek him at the acceptable time. But set your heart to seek him. How many of you would just make a simple little decision tonight? Lord, that from now on, when I read your word, when I study your word, I'm going to be concerned, first of all, with intimacy with you. Even more than insights, anything that you tell me, I'm going to be concerned more with having an intimate time with you. Would you just tell the Lord that by raising your hand? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you tonight for this simple but profound truth. Lord, that we would set our heart to seek you above all else, that we wouldn't be satisfied with anything less than knowing you. We wouldn't settle for anything less, but to realize we also don't need anything more. Lord, reveal yourself to us in greater ways than you ever have before in these days and weeks and years to come. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like to have the worship team come back if they would. We're going to sing that chorus, Draw Me Close to You. Let's stand. Make it your prayer tonight as you sing it. Focus on intimacy tonight.
Lay it all. nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way, bring me back to you.
Still small voice. He'll be there tomorrow in your devotions. He'll be there next time you seek him. He's not far from any of us. Please tonight don't let this desire for him and for intimacy with him to be just another fleeting impression. Let it be something that you do with all your heart, with your whole heart. All right. Father, we thank you for this time tonight, but Lord, we thank you for you and who you are and that you desire a relationship with us. Lord, as that song says, help us to know that you are near. Help us to know that. Lord, may we continue to seek you. Lord, may we find you to be everything that we want and everything that we need. Lord, we ask that you would bless the food and fellowship that follows the service tonight now, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.